Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways we are a church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and a list of announcements. A lot of good information in there, so check out your bulletin. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who will be standing at the communion table following worship today. During the offering, if everyone would please sign the hospitality register and pass it down so that we are able to greet those around us by names. A few announcements this morning. First, I'll start off. The Advent Festival for Children is next week during worship. It's when Sunday school would usually take place. So parents of younger children are welcome to go down and do crafts with them too. And also, if you have any grandchildren or people you know in your life that might have fun doing this, the more children, the merrier. Junior highs have youth group next week after church. We'll do lunch here and then head to Splatter Ceramics. And if you could RSVP to me, that would be great to get a head count. Senior highs are here next week from 6 to 8. It's a new event called Frosty and Fries Formal. You don't have to dress in formal wear if you don't want. It's an excuse to wear anything ridiculous or whatever you might want to wear. And we'll be doing Christmas cards for shut-ins that day. So I hope some of you guys will be able to join us for that. Next up, let's have Kathy.
Good morning. I'm here to officially announce that there will be a congregational meeting on December 8th, immediately following worship. So please plan on attending. The primary purpose is to elect the elders, trustees, and deacons for 2020. Also, we'll be just reviewing the 2020 budget, which was approved by session last week. And finally, we'll have an update report from the DPNC. That's the group that is selecting our new pastor. So they'll give us the update on where they're at on it. So please put that on your calendars, December 8th.
Good morning. Next Sunday, December 1st, will be the Bring in the Advent season by hanging the garlands on the walls and decorating our beautiful sanctuary and Christmas tree. So we need help. We need your help. And you'll enjoy every minute of it as the fellowship is great during this period of time. Tall people are especially encouraged to join us. People who like to climb ladders or who don't mind climbing ladders are very helpful. So next Sunday, right after service, we'll provide the decorations if you'll provide the people power. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Sally Christensen. I'm here representing the mission team at Gates Presbyterian. The Advent season is always a very busy time for the mission team with lots of opportunities for everyone to participate in some way. This morning I want to bring your attention to the Christmas tree that's kind of a little beating the Advent season, but it's out in the hallway today. On the tree and under the tree are the gift tags for purchases that we can make for Cameron Community Ministries. We're supporting them three ways this year. This is in your bulletin and it's also out there, but the family we have adopted, that's our primary goal to fulfill all of their Christmas wishes. It's a family of four this year, the Adger family, four children and the parents. Those tags are on the tree. Under the tree in the little baskets are the tags for boys, tags for girls, and tags for adults. The boys and girls tags have gift suggestions. Those items are used at their holiday party. And let me tell you, last year when I took these things down there, I've done it for years, and I'm just overwhelmed by the amount of packages they have. They use every single one of them. So all of your gift contributions are greatly appreciated. The third basket is for adult gifts, and those items, the children can go into their little shop and pick out items for the adults and their families. So on the tree is the family tags, under the tree, the holiday party and adult shop tags. Those items are due back here at church so we can deliver them on December 8th. Also on December 8th, we'll be collecting SWEM meals. All this information is in your bulletin. December 8th, remember that day for three reasons now. Thank you.
Good morning. Larry Wakeman representing the Church Mouse Bazaar. And to answer that burning question in everyone's mind this morning, are the Bills going to make the playoffs? Maybe. With your prayers. Okay, bottom line is we brought in about $4,700. Yeah, the snack bar was responsible for about $946. Baked foods, about $618. Lunch bunch, $606. And the rest was from vendor spots and table rentals. But none of this would have been possible without all your help. People that didn't sign up just showed up. Either you shopped or you helped, put the church back together, tore it apart. It was a great day. And so many people to thank. I mean, I know I'm going to miss people, but Sherry McFarland, especially for being the registrar this year and putting up with some less than happy vendors. Heather Pym, Marty Oman, Jason Taylor, in fact, the whole Taylor family, even the baby was here to help. Velta and J.C. Rushan, Irene and Tom Ward, Ginny Barley, Linda Beatty, Beth Molina, Kay Harder. And as a reminder, baked goods that were left over, we have for sale down in the fellowship hall right after service. And finally, Kathy, my wife, has decided to become co-chair next year. So.
Good morning, and just a brief prelude. Welcome to Music Sunday. We're happy to be here with all our choirs and musicians to celebrate. I just one note about one of the things we're going to be doing in worship today for the prayers of the people. We will not be passing the mic as we normally do, but we're going to be singing a refrain from Tezay, which is, "O Lord, hear my prayer." And we will all sing the refrain, and then the choir will just sing it on ooh, and while Kathy Wakeman will intone an invocation of prayer of some group or something we should pray for, and while the choir is just singing that or doing it on ooh, just ask you to meditate and pray for that intention, and then we're going to sing the refrain, "O Lord, hear our prayer," and do that a few times. So it'll be more of a meditative, reflective segment for prayers of the people today. So thank you.
There will be no sermon today. It'll be full of announcements. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Today is a very special day. If you look at your bulletin, it says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." And today we do celebrate our music, and we have a gamut of people that make up our music programs, and we are very, very thankful for all of those folks. I will not name everybody individually, but by group, and hopefully I won't have missed anybody. But we start with our junior choir, our youngest musicians, our youth choir, our not youth choir, our adult choir. We have our organist, John, and our fill-in, Chris, whether it be on the keyboard or on the organ itself. We have multiple guest musicians that come in and help throughout the year. We have vocalists that come through the summertime and share their gifts with us in summertime, as well out through the year. A couple of weeks ago, we had a fantastic jazz ensemble. Roy and his crew are just amazing as far as that goes. Also, the forgotten folks, they kind of sit in the back and mind their own business, is our soundboard folks. So without those folks, you know, we couldn't hear what's going on, or at least we would not be able to hear it as well as we do. So a big thank you, not only to the soundboard folks, which Gary is sitting there today, but I know there's several others. So anybody and everybody that has something to do with our music that's presented during worship, before worship, and after, we just wanted to say thank you. I'm here representing the personnel committee, but I'm also representing all of you, because we are all a one big family together. And with that, we say thank you to all of you. So. We will celebrate in traditional Gates Presbyterian style. After worship, we have a cake in the fellowship hall. So down the hall to your left, there's always cake. Well, there'll be cake today. There'll be coffee, tea, and also all the refreshments. So please join us after worship to celebrate with our fantastic musical group. Would you pray with me now? Oh, Lord, we thank you that you bless our music program and all who participate in it. We are grateful to you for all those who teach, who sing, who play, who plan, and who direct, so that this might glorify your name. May the talents that you have bestowed upon all our musicians be used not only to serve you, but to bring joy to those who hear the beautiful sound that generates from their voices and from their instruments. And now, let us pause, take a breath, and prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls to worship our great God together.
For the call to worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness.
Give thanks to God and bless God's holy name.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
Let us sing and praise our God.
Thank you.
In the midst of our thanksgiving, let us pause in silence to recall how we so often lose sight of the gifts of each day and of their giver. Please join our voices in speaking the words of assurance printed in your bulletin. Grant us clear minds to know you, new hearts to love you, strong hands to serve you. Help us live this day, this week, and always so that our whole life is a thanksgiving to you.
So today, for the Thoughts for Children, we invite children young to whatever age you'd like to be to participate. So we're going to be talking about some of the instruments we use in worship today. So can anybody tell me what this is here that I was just playing? What is it?
A piano.
A piano. Do you know how to play the piano? You do?
You push the keys and it makes music.
That's great. It's wonderful. Can anybody, you know who his father is, don't you? Can anybody tell me what's on the back wall? What is it?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay. What?
Organs.
It's the organ. And so, what up at the top? What are they? Lots of pipes?
Yeah.
Those make lots of sounds and stuff. And then down below, do you see that big box there? That's what we call the organ console and the keyboard. So what I want you guys to do is to follow me back there, because I'm going to show you how some of that stuff works. And if any of you adults want to come back and wonder what this weird thing is back here, you're welcome to come and gather around while I show everybody. So come on. So everybody kind of come around the back. So now, how many keyboards does the piano have? One. How many does this have? A lot. We have 17? No, I don't think it's 17. We have two keyboards up here, but what's down here? Does that look like a keyboard? How do you think those keys are played?
With what?
With my feet. With my feet, right. So I can get all kinds of different sounds out. Do you want to help play the organ today? No, thank you. Okay. Would somebody like to help and put... What I want you to do is to put your foot on the lowest pedal down there. Do you see this right there, that wooden blonde piece of wood? Can you put your foot on it? Ooh. What does that sound like? Jackhammer. Okay, you can take your foot off.
Someone's going like the Amerks when they score like...
Okay, so it's like when the Amerks score a goal. Okay. Good. So anytime you hear that in church, you can think that the Amerks have just scored a goal. But maybe today we can hope that the Buffalo Bills score some touchdowns and we'll hear that sound, right? Okay. So I've got keyboards up here. And see, I've got these all little tabs up here. And if I push a tab down, I'm going to get a different sound. And if I put this sounds like... What does this sound like? What?
A flute.
Yeah, so there are some stops that are called flutes. What does this sound like?
It's a trumpet.
It's a trumpet? Yeah.
You think it's a trumpet?
Yeah.
What?
It kind of sounds like a DJ when, like, they're like...
It sounds like a DJ when they're spinning the record is what he's saying. Okay. So, but like I can play the pedals down here. I play with my feet. And this pedal here, there's a box up there, and maybe the adults can see. The doors are open on it, but if I close it, did you see that? Cool, huh? No? Do it again. Oh, cool, huh? So listen what happens. Ooh. What? Something coming closer. And then there's another pedal here that if I don't have anything on, it helps me put everything on little by little. Hang on. Is that cool? Yeah. Okay, and we have one more thing I want to show you. What does this sound like?
What?
Chimes. You like chimes? Bells, yeah. Doorbell. So we use this to... Do you like hearing the organ in church? Yeah. So anybody have any questions about it?
Can I play?
Can you play it? Sure. What do you want? What are you going to play? No. right on this keyboard. That's all? Okay. You see, you can do chopsticks. Well, it just chimes. Yeah, see, that says all the stops that I have. But can we say a prayer together now? Okay. Repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for all the gifts of music you give us. Gifts of music you give us. For the piano. And the organ. And the trumpets. And the flutes. And the bells. And our own voices that help us to praise you and thank you. Amen. So now, why don't you all go back to your places and we can continue with our worship today.
First reading of the word is from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. And I want to say on Music Sunday, as we celebrate the musical life of the church, personally, it's such a privilege and a joy to serve this congregation with the choir and with all the various ways that we do music here. But my favorite way to engage in music here is the corporate singing. And you're all a part of that, whether you feel like you're singing well or you're singing loud or your voice is heard. Singing hymns congregationally is such a joy, and it is my favorite part of the morning. Before we do the second reading today, I'd like to tell you a story. This is a story that comes from Flavius Josephus, first century Jewish general who defected over to the Roman side, wrote a lot in Greek, and this is a story from the Jewish War, the end of the first book, going into the second. And it's a story that would have taken place in Jesus' neighborhood during his lifetime, sometime between AD and 20 AD. Many of the players that are in this story enter the New Testament stories at some point or another, and they're all named Herod. So there's King Herod, Herod the Great, who is present at the Nativity story when he hears that there's a baby to be born, King of the Jews. That's him. He's the father. And then one of his sons, who's also named Herod, is present at the crucifixion. But this story centers around another son, also named Herod, Herod Archelaus. So Archelaus's father, Herod the Great, has just died. Archelaus thinks he's going to inherit his father's throne, but since the province of Judea is under Roman rule, he has to go through the legal formality of going to Rome and appearing before Caesar. This would be Tiberius Caesar, and having his kingship confirmed. So here's Josephus's story. Archelaus now went to the seaside with his family and friends and left behind him a steward to be in charge of his palace and to take care of his domestic affairs. Salome also went along with him and her sons. In appearance, this was to give him all the assistance that they were able. But in reality, they would accuse him for his breach of the laws for what he had done at the temple. Archelaus, several years earlier, had committed a brutal crime against both Jewish and Roman law. He sent his soldiers into a crowd during the Passover festival, slaughtered over 3,000 people. This crowd was advocating for the removal of some of the Roman symbols that were in the Jewish temple. They wanted release of political prisoners, lower taxes, and they wanted a particularly corrupt high priest removed. So Archelaus went on his journey, not knowing that Salome and her sons were also going to accuse him instead of supporting him once he was before Caesar. His brother also goes to Caesar to work against him, and some of the stewards that he's left behind to look after his affairs, turns out that they're in league against him as well. Now, while he's away, there's a popular revolt, doubtless the result of some of those very problems that Archelaus was trying to suppress, pagan symbols in the temple, corruption among the elites, high taxes and unfair imprisonments. And the leader of this revolt is a shepherd named Athanagus. He announces that he's starting a Kingdom of God movement. We don't actually know what happens to Athanagus. He only enters the story tangentially, but the result's unsuccessful. Most likely he's, like all the Jewish revolutionaries of the period who lead unsuccessful revolts, killed brutally. Even more Jewish envoys after this end up going to Caesar, protesting against Archelaus. Eventually, Caesar decides he's going to split the Judean province, which had been one kingdom, into four ethnarchies, and he gives only one, granted the biggest one, to Archelaus. And here's how Josephus writes the end of the story. And now Archelaus took possession of his ethnarchy and used not only the Jews, but the Samaritans also, barbarously. And this out of the resentment for their old quarrels with him. In our reading today, chapter 19 of Luke, Jesus is coming down from the north, and he's climbing up to Jerusalem. This is the final trip where his public ministry comes to a head. He's been raising support. He's been performing miracles and signs throughout the northern reaches of Palestine. He has the authorities worried. He has large crowds following him. He keeps on speaking about how the kingdom of God is now breaking in. He's a legitimate threat to some, He's a sign of revolutionary hope to others. And no matter what side you're on, there's definitely a confrontation brewing. The water is just about at the boiling point. He's passed through Jericho, and he met the wee little man Zacchaeus. And the story picks up in verse 18. As the crowd heard these things, he proceeded to tell them a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and the crowd supposed that the kingdom of God was about to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went to a faraway country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, take care of my business until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. And the first came before him, saying, sir, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, sir, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, sir, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them in front of me. The word of the Lord. So I always heard this passage, and there's a parallel passage in Matthew which doesn't end with the enemies being slaughtered in front of him, and it has talents as the denomination of money instead of minas. I always heard this passage as a story about how you're supposed to be responsible with your gifts. The first two servants are the good guys, and the first servant's the best, and the third servant is bad because he's lazy, and the king stands in for God. So in the flannel graph telling of this passage that I learned in Sunday school, it's about responsibility and perhaps about the Protestant work ethic. It's about signing up to help with snow shoveling or the soup kitchen, or about how you should all join choir. And to be clear, volunteering, using your gifts responsibly, those are good things, and you all should join choir. But that's not what this passage is about. This passage is about Archelaus. Jesus is not giving a flannel graph lesson or a morality tale. He's telling them a new story, and importantly, a new story that they all definitely would have already known. So why? And the key is with the crowd that's boiling over with the expectation that the kingdom of God is going to appear imminently as they come towards Jerusalem. In telling the story of Archelaus, Jesus is making a nuanced critique of that expectation and subverting it. He's not saying the moral of the story is to behave like the servant with the 10 minas. He's saying what he says in Matthew 11. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent people have tried to take it by force. Do you remember Athanagus, the shepherd leader of the revolt from Josephus' story? That's what the crowd is expecting. They're expecting this charismatic leader who looks like he has divine favor on him, who's doing wonderful things, who's proclaiming freedom for prisoners, who's critiquing corrupt Jewish rulers and priests, and is coming down into Jerusalem to cleanse the temple and drive out the Romans with their pagan symbols and their pagan taxes. They're expecting that he's going to lead them into Jerusalem with their swords out. And Jesus has done bits of this. He has declared a jubilee. He's announced that the kingdom of heaven is within your grasp, and he does critique those corrupt politicians. You can understand why the crowd is worked up. But just as they get to the point of drawing out weapons, with the expectation that Jesus is going to lead them in as an army to inaugurate the kingdom of God by force right now, he opens his mouth and he tells them a story. They're probably expecting a story. They're expecting something to work them up, like the story of the Maccabees, Jewish revolutionaries taking up the sword and driving out the pagans by force several centuries earlier, all in the name of purity, Torah, and homeland. But he doesn't do that. He reminds them that those who sought to work behind Archelaus's back were put to a violent death, the inevitable result of fighting a pagan power on a pagan power's terms. He reminded the people of Israel, the people who were chosen to be a light to the world, to be a blessing to the Gentiles, and to be the holy people among whom the Creator God would make his home, that there are ruinous consequences for those who shirk the office that they are entrusted. What he did is astounding. Jesus confronted those who thought that they could lay claim to being the chosen ones, to being the divine people, and who were prepared to enforce that claim by violence and political machinations. And he upends them by telling them a story about the consequences of trying to gain the kingdom the wrong way. Since the days of John the Baptist, violent men have been trying to lay hold of the kingdom of God. And Jesus' story is a warning of judgment. It's depressingly easy to start naming instances in modern life where some group would claim to speak for God, would claim to say, we're the chosen ones, and all we need to do is get in power. And then, because we're the divine people, we can put things right. That's why we can justify our violence or political intrigues. Now as then, the answer to those who would lay hold of the kingdom of God by violence is not to answer with a louder or a more violent claim that, no, we're the divine people. We can't let the kingdom fall into their hands. Instead, we do this. We tell stories. When our culture implies that only the rich and important are worth paying attention to, we gather into a community that above all else looks to the care of the poor, the elderly, and the children. We sing songs. On Music Sunday, not only of ourselves and of our own loves and pains, but of God's glory and goodness, a reflection of our God into his good creation, and a summing up of that creation's praises as an offering back to him. Our story of our community is of corporate self-criticism and confession. And let us, in that corporate life, be ready to be surprised by God's word when it turns out that what we thought was a straightforward stewardship parable turns out to be a nuanced political critique that upends our understanding of our own vocation. When others would lay hold of the kingdom of God by violence, let us sing its songs and tell its stories. Starting with 37.
us pray for peace. Let us pray for all those who are ill. Let us pray for all those who have died. Now pray the words that Christ has given us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth. Thank you.
Will you pray with me, please? Ever faithful God, we long to be faithful givers, modeling ourselves after you who has given us all that we have. May your spirit of abundance, which gives more than we can ask or imagine, bless these gifts that we bring before you. May they help to bring forth your kingdom. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we conclude our service, please join me in the benediction. As our time of worship concludes, our time of service begins. We return to our living and working amidst a world in need. As we go from this place, may we carry with us the knowledge that we are recipients of God's gifts. As we go, we vow to share those gifts with the world around us. May we walk with us as we travel life's road. Amen.